Just after the break, we've got news coming up in about 3 seconds, so stay tuned for that, and then we got a great speaker a little bit after the break.
CJLO, 1690 AM, Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Shanalee Marie. Via Rail has canceled most of its routes as protests in solidarity with the West Owatin Hereditary Chiefs continue. It's an expansion of earlier train closures between Toronto and Montreal after the Taandinaga protesters' barricade rail passage. The protesters in West Owatin territory are fighting the construction of a pipeline on their traditional territory. The BC Supreme Court has passed an injunction barring people from blocking access to the BC legislature. It came one day before a planned Saturday protest in Victoria to block access to the government buildings. The government security officers have been allowed to arrest people for disrupting access. In other news, about 144 Canadians have been victims of data breaches in the past 2 years at the hands of government agencies. According to a new report tabled in the House of Commons, the breaches range from minor mishandling to major disclosures of personal information. The report also did not offer a reason for the breaches. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
yours. You ain't got a phone with me, cause I already know who you are and what you do. Oh, cause ain't no other girl gonna keep it low key for you. I feel your energy miles apart, and this ain't news to me, cause the love is deep, and all I really gotta know is if you could get down, 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 down. Baby, is you with it?
Welcome back. We are here at CJLO 1690 AM, and it is after the break. So as we promised, we have a speaker, a coach, just a brilliant guy who decided, I'm going to let him tell you his story, but I discovered him again. YouTube, I'm telling you, YouTube, this is the place to be. I discovered his stuff just by accident, again, in a kind of a random playlist, and it just caught me, and I was like, this guy gives really good advice. I'd like to check it out further. And I just liked his style as like a big brother, kind of big brotherly advice, talking to girls who don't really know how things are. And we all, you know, not all of us had our dads to show us stuff. So to have like a big brother who you can go online and listen to what he's got to say and get advice, and you can even he takes clients and he does over the phone. We're going to give you all the information of where to find him. So we're going to get him on the line now and hear what he has to say. This is Kev Hick from Ohio, and we are so lucky to have him here with us.
Hey. I appreciate y'all for having me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Let me introduce you to Mr. Lala.
Mr. Hicks, good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing really, really, really wonderful. It's a pleasure to meet you on the telephone.
You as well. You as well.
Thank you.
So, Kev, let's get started, because I had discovered you on YouTube. I'd like to know, like, how did you get into it? What was the motivation behind becoming a coach?
Well, quite honestly, it started probably when I was a child. My mom had some struggles, and I was one of those kids in AA. Okay. For people who don't know what AA is, that's Alcoholics Anonymous, right? So I was the kid, the five-year-old drinking coffee, listening to the life stories of alcoholics and narcotics addicts. And, you know, I had a very interesting perspective as a child that many other kids wasn't really privileged to. I was actually spending most of my time out of school in adult counseling, drug rehab, you know, those types of scenarios. And so it really built in me a sense of service to people who really needed mental and emotional strengthening. You know, I guess that's a short story of it. It created a passion in me to help people and be a voice that I wished so many of those people had, but especially my mother, who struggled with a lot. And I was even speaking to her about this about a week ago. Mm-hmm. She was telling me how she was asking God why nobody was there for her to, you know, to guide her away from the lifestyle and the life decisions she made. And, you know, she told me that God told her that he hadn't been birthed yet, you know, and she hadn't had me yet and I haven't come to be. And, you know, I thought that was pretty deep, but it just gave me confirmation that I am who I was supposed to be, and that, you know, my mother also believes the same thing. So I'm just real passionate. I'm trying to be the person that I wish my mother had as a young person. When she was 16, when she was 20, when she was 30 even, just the voice of reason. Because it wasn't just about alcohol. What I learned in observing alcoholics and narcotics addicts for the better part of at least 13 years in my childhood, multiple times a week was at. Most of their issues, most of their life struggles came from toxic relationships via the parents, via the relationships they chose, you know, all of these things that they were exposed to. So for me, I just want to be that voice of reason for them. And I've always been very passionate about being that voice of reason in all of my relationships. So when I started YouTube, it wasn't about coming out and being another talking head. It was about being the person I've always been to the people closest to me. I was talking to my wife once, and she just said, listen, a lot of people could benefit from a friend like you, and you don't have a lot of friends because you're selective. Is there a way that you can share that with the world? Because I talk a lot anyway, and I have these rants and rambles about all these, you know, existential ideas and these big life ideas. And she said, well, you know, I don't always listen as closely as, you know, I probably should, but there are other people who absolutely need this, and I think you should share it with the world. And so that's what I did.
That's beautiful. And so did you start, like, giving advice to people, or was it just with the YouTube? Like, did you take people on right away, or did people contact you and just, you know, desperate for your advice, or did it take a little while for people to hear about you and to get into your stuff? And do you give talks in person?
I didn't give a lot of talks in person. I started kind of nervous, real trepidatious. I didn't know if, you know, people would want to hear me, people would want to see me. I'm a very confident person when I'm in person, but I didn't know how that would play out or show itself online, right? And there's a plethora of ideas that people are sharing in this relationship realm. I didn't want to be somebody mistaken for something I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was afraid to misrepresent myself. So at first I didn't take clients. I didn't do speaking engagements because I just wanted to make sure that I was true to myself first. And I had to learn how to express myself in a way that was meant for a massive audience of people. So at first I was trepidatious. I didn't take comments. I didn't take clients. I was actually coaxed into it over time after talking to maybe a few thousand people through email and through the comment section, realizing that I'm making a difference in people's lives. I'm creating change for people in a way that they may not have been able to create change, you know, for themselves or through other avenues, either YouTube or, you know, books or whatever people do to try to self-care. So I realized that I was who I always thought I was, and that I could be as impactful as I hope to be. And so from that point, I developed enough confidence to just start taking clients and really getting hands-on with the service instead of just being a voice on a video.
That's amazing. So women basically can contact you, I'm assuming, through your website, and, you know, or they can write to you if they have, like, a lot of people are going through hard times, heartbreaks, breakups. They don't really know, you know, maybe they don't feel good about themselves, or it could be a weight thing. Women, I guess, can contact you and then schedule something, or I understand you also answer by email at times?
Absolutely. I have an email service, and I have a consultation service. I do 1 hour phone consultations where we can schedule them 1 hour at a time. But people just, they come to me and they explain to me the situation or the lifestyle that they've developed. And you know, I do life coaching, I do relationship coaching, I do, you know, dating coaching. I give my perspective, and that's all it is my perspective. But my perspective is a very unique one, and I don't think it's shared by very many people and very many of the talking heads on YouTube. And so, you know, the first time I talked somebody out of suicide, actually, was when I realized that maybe I have a gift, maybe I'm supposed to be doing this, and maybe my spirit has just led me here and it was meant to be.
And can you share with us one of your stories, like outside of that suicide, which is intense? Could you share with us like one story that you're really proud of, that someone that you've helped in your coaching?
But I remember this, the moment that I realized that I had an impact was I got an email. I got an email from, I think she was a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never actually talked to this woman or spoken to her. I'm sorry. She didn't even respond to my response. But she wrote me like a 3-page letter. And it began with, I'm writing this letter in tears.
Wow.
The words that you've spoken have changed my life so dramatically. and so impactfully that I'm not the same as I was before I started watching your videos. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're a professional. I don't know if you're just some random guy, but I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't be spiritually or emotionally functional today, and I wouldn't be healthy today if I hadn't come across your videos. And, you know, it was a long message, but it shook me because I didn't realize up until that point that I was anything more to people than a talking head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So well, I think you are, though.
Without that email, I wouldn't have continued.
Wow. Well, even for me, listening to this, and it made me understand some things that of former relationships. I was like, what? That's why he does that? Like, that's why? You know, so I think any women who, and men too, because you have, we'll talk about that after, but right now, because it's Valentine's Day, this is a love thing. We're specifically talking to women. But they can come and check you out. So you have, let's see, you have your YouTube. Can you give me the name of the YouTube so that people can come look at you?
Absolutely. The YouTube channel is Kev Hick Talks Guys with Girls. Again, that's Kev, K-E-V-H-I-C-K, Talks, as spelled, Guys with Girls. Actually, if you just put Kev Hick in, K-E-V space H-I-C-K, I'm the first thing that comes up. So you don't even have to really put the whole thing. Just put Kev Hick, and my two channels are the first ones that come up.
Ooh, wonderful. Yeah, because I really, really encourage people to come and check this out. And I know that you have another thing, and it's about talking life. And so I would like to have you back definitely to like discuss some life issues at another point. But in the meantime, I want to get your opinion on some things because now I've got you here. We could get into stuff. So first of all, I wanted to I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I talk about love on kind of three levels. So to me, it's really important. Like you have to be whole and love yourself first, because if you can't, you know, be whole within yourself, how are you going to share love with another person? And then to me, it's about, you know, about sharing love with everybody, you know, platonically and also romantically. And then you have kind of universal love, that world service kind of love. So can you give me a little bit of your perspective on those three types of love and why they're important?
Well, definitely being whole first and foremost is absolutely paramount. I remember, I don't know, 3 years ago or so, I wrote a blog called Being Half and Wanting Whole. And I'm not sure if that wording made any sense at the time, but it was just my first crack at writing blogs. But it was basically about the same idea. You know, we often hear about how two come together and they make one. And I don't really like that equation. I think one and one should come together and make two, because mm-hmm. you still are separate spirits, separate entities. You have separate goals, dreams, aspirations, spiritual purposes. And I think if you're not fully functioning in who you are, especially from a spiritual and energetic level, it's almost impossible to provide healthy love or receive it.
Right. Right. That's another issue, is people who have a lot of trouble receiving love because their hearts are so closed. They've had different wounding in their past. And so there's a lot of pain, layers of pain over that. That's really hard to absorb love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, it's just really important that you get yourself grounded in a spiritual place first, regardless of your belief system or your religion. It's not about religion. It's about, like who you are. You know, we often forget that we are first a spirit. Mm-hmm. We have a body. Mm-hmm. And it's not the other way around. Many people live in their body and live in their humanity, and then the spirit is an afterthought. And mm-hmm. I think anytime you do that, you've done yourself a grave disservice. And so, you know, it's about connecting with who you are, your energy, your forever energy, because we were here before we were here.
Yes.
You know, and as long as people understand that, they start their identity starts with their purpose, their consciousness. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it's easier to connect with, you know, what makes you whole, because you have to connect with that to be whole, to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill, you know, your intrinsic needs. You have to know what they are. You have to identify them. So.
Absolutely. Now, you and your wife have been together for quite a while. What are the things that you do? What's your Valentine's Day thing or Valentine's Day every day? But what are the things that you do to keep everything spicy, but keep the love flowing?
Well, for many of the listeners out there, they may understand this. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So sometimes that can be a difficult task, right? Mm. It can be a very tall task to keep things spicy. But I think that the one thing that any couple can do to continue being functional, like throughout the time of their relationship, for 20 years, 50 years, that's the hope, right? We all want to be married forever. Mm-hmm. While you get married. But it's to love intentionally. And every day, do things with a purpose. When you lack purpose and you lack drive, you don't give yourself an opportunity to succeed at anything. If you do anything without purpose or without an intention behind it, eventually aimlessness leads to failure, right? So mm-hmm. I don't love my family aimlessly. I love them with a very, very passionate and intense purpose. Every day I'm home on time.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I'm honest with my wife. Every day I love her the same.
That's beautiful.
I don't take days off. And so that's what keeps us. I don't like to say keeps the spark going or keeps things hot, because you can always be hot, right? There are times where even the most healthy of us are just surviving, right? Mm-hmm. But what I do to keep my relationship together is I am who my wife thinks I am at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as she's confident in who I am and what she believes I am, my integrity, my character, right, my fatherhood, when she sees my passion, not only for loving her, but loving my kids, making sure I give them time, making sure I play with them, making sure I talk to her and I listen to her ideas, that's what keeps the relationship. That's what keeps the spark. People take time off of that service, the service of loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't necessarily believe in, you know, we read magazines like Cosmo, and well, I don't, but, you know, there are those who read those magazines and, oh, well, if you want to keep the spark, go get some ice cream and go do this and that. But I can tell you something. There's nothing like making love to a person you feel absolutely connected to and safe with.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And that takes time to build, and it takes time to keep up.
And it's not found in the sex session of a magazine. It's
exactly.
Found in your passionate intent and obsession with being who that person needs you to be.
If you could give us like one daily practice of, it could be a meditation, it could be a mantra, anything that you know, that would help people to keep that love within themselves and within a relationship as things are going forward, what would that be? What would your practice be?
Well, for me, I've found that actually, and it doesn't sound as you know, obvious as it should, but taking time out to be who you were. Right. Remember, I said 1 + 1. You know, we come together and make 2. We don't come together and make 1. Taking time out to be 1. Taking time out to, you know, I don't care if it's waking. For me, it's waking up in the morning, being alone with my thoughts. Right. Connecting with my purpose every day, reconnecting with it. Who am I supposed to be today? Who do people believe I am? You know, who do I believe I am? Who do I want to be? Every day, connecting with the person I want to be and making that the goal. That's the first goal. Right. Because if I'm together, if I have my stuff together and I'm loving me at all times, which means for me being a person I can be proud of, being a person that I would protect with my life. Like, we all know a person that we love so much that we would do anything to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to us, we don't serve us the same way we might serve others. And the if I can give you one thing that you could do every day to make sure that not only you're healthy enough to love, but you can keep the passion going in your relationship, mm-hmm. is that you need to always stay connected with you. When you lose your identity, you pick up resentment, right? You pick up aimlessness, right? When you're just existing instead of surviving, thriving,
mm-hmm.
as a person that you were meant to be, serving your spirit, then your relationships crumble, your job performance suffers. Everything around you starts to fall because you're not being who you are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or otherwise, right, or even physically. So for me, that practice every day is waking up, at least taking 1 hour for myself, operating in my spiritual purpose for myself, being alone with my thoughts, gathering myself, and preparing the day so that I can conquer it, and not only conquer it, but be as great as I was meant to be, right? Be the person people think I am, be the person I hope to be. But it's about practice. It's about self-mastery. Every day you have to engage in some form of self-mastery. And when you feel proud of who you are, it's easy to come into a relationship and continue to conquer that day, continue to conquer those issues, continue to overcome things because you're proud of who you are and you are in love with what you're becoming at all times.
Amen to that. You're working towards it. Amen to that. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back because I want to hear so much more about this, and I'd like to open up the line so people have a chance, the Montreal listeners have a chance to meet you for the first time in person.
Okay.
So please stay put. We'll be right back, everybody. CJLO 1690 AM, Beat the World.
Tune in to the Anatomy of Caribbean Music every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM, where we examine the origins and the evolution of Caribbean music. From mento to reggae, calypso to soca, compa, zouk, Latin, spooge, we play them all.
Don't miss Polaris Prize winner Caribou and opening act Caitlin Aurelia Smith on March 23rd at MTELUS in support of his upcoming album, Suddenly. Tickets on sale at blueskiesturnblack.com.
Push that button.
How about this one?
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2 times award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
This is
CJLO 1690.
And we are back with Beat the World. We have a guest speaker here, Kev Hick, and he's giving us some great information on how to be whole, how to love, how to share love with others. So we're going to continue on with that conversation. I want to take it to a little bit different kind of thing. I'd like to, Kev, to get your opinion on this, and this isn't quite part of the same love thing, but I think it goes, it's kind of in line with being like being empowered, especially women. I find a lot of women, they're missing self-esteem in a lot of ways. So it comes about body, but women can also shame one another, like slut shame each other. And I think that's so counterproductive to, just to our growth and empowerment in general. So I'm going to read this to you. I came across this in a group that I was on Facebook. This is also a coach. She's from San Francisco, and I'd like to at some point get her on the line too one of these days. Her name is Adriana Zathan, Z-A-T-H-A-N. And so this was right after the Super Bowl performance with J-Lo and Shakira. And I just felt like it felt important to include. I don't know why it's a little out there compared to what we're talking about, but it kind of felt important to include. And I feel like you have something to say about this. So here goes. She says, "To all the women I've ever shamed or judged for owning your femininity and sexuality, I am so sorry. I shamed you saying you were wrong, but my perspective was coming from a scared girl whose moral system was clouded with its own shame, passed down and taught from an early age. I judged you because I didn't have confidence and it triggered my ego that I believed a confident woman was wrong, bad, and sinful. I thought I was doing everyone a favor by playing the good girl, keeping myself small and drowning out my own voice for the sake of being, quote, moral. But what I realized and continue to realize as I peel back the layers and layers of heavy-laden shame is that I'm not doing anyone favors by keeping myself small and not sharing my message, and neither are you. Our culture should not own your sexuality. You should. And the more you step into that power and take back the control, the more you can stand on the stable ground and serve the people you were meant to serve. Being in your power means more joy, better intimacy, stronger boundaries, more abundance, just to name a few. Ask yourself, who suffers if you really don't fully show up? What message are you robbing from people that need to hear it the most? And if you need a safe place full of women who will support you on that path, then you need to be with me, the fearless female." This is a group she has. "We will cheer you on and push you forward and give you the space to own your shit. The good, the bad, and anything in between. Your sexuality, your femininity, your humanness are not sinful. They are beautiful, sacred, divine, and most importantly, yours. Please don't let anyone tell you otherwise. So what's your opinion on this, Kev?
You know, I think that first of all, it was big of her to make the adjustment, publicly acknowledge that she had been wrong, mm-hmm. you know, in comparison to what had been revealed to her through either experience or, you know, new knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So I completely agree with her. But I want to acknowledge a thing that is often not acknowledged, is that, you know, when we speak to the masses, and I don't think she got this wrong at all, but this is something that is, you know, in addition to, not a however or a but. There are those who might hear those words and apply them as they will to their own ignorance, right? So, like, it's very important that, you know, we keep things in context. Because yes, anytime a person is being shamed for who they are and what they're doing, you know, it should be looked at, right? Mm-hmm. But first of all, you know, to be quite honest, some things are shameful, and it shouldn't be up to any one of us to shame a person. Mm-hmm. Shame should come from you, right? When you know you're operating against who you're supposed to be, right. That's where shame comes from. So I give her a lot of credit for coming out and realizing that she's not supposed to be the voice of self-judgment. A person operating against their own self-interest should ultimately feel that for themselves and make that adjustment. But mm-hmm. with that said, as it pertains to sexual empowerment, we often hear, you know, the feminine movement and the sexual empowerment movement allude itself or you know, offer itself to just the idea that, you know, a woman operating in her sexiness and her sexuality is coming from a place of power. We all obviously know that it isn't always the case.
Right.
Sexuality doesn't always come from a place of power. So I can't assume your over-sexual nature or your over-sexual display is a place of power, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should also be noted that sexuality shouldn't be weaponized against the world as a tool of rebellion, right? So when we're addressing everybody, we're addressing people who are rebelling with their sexuality at times, right? So there should be some self-checking going on. There should be a little bit of shame, but it should come from disregarding their spiritual purposes as individuals. Mm-hmm. It should never come from, I can't shame you for doing anything that I think, you know, would be better for me, right? But owning your sexuality does not necessarily mean overusing and overutilizing sexuality.
Right. And I think
so there's a caveat.
I think people also get that confused a lot. Like, I see a lot of young women, and you get stares. I'll see some girls walking, well, in some of the places that I travel, they can wear some pretty scandalous types of outfits, and you get the looks, but I personally don't feel that it's empowerment. I feel that they're a little bit wayward, and I have no judgment on how people decide to, what kind of clothes they decide to wear or how they carry themselves. But I feel like when you're using your sexuality to prove a point rather than just owning it, that this is who I am, this is what I wear, this
Absolutely.
Is how I am, you know, that there's a big difference, and it's a lack of self-esteem there. And so that's why I wanted you on this show, because I feel like some people listening need to hear this and need to hear you, like, in more depth. They need to check you out. It's free, people. YouTube, go check it out. And then you've got some stuff coming up, right? You've got some new projects coming up.
Yes,
I do. You'll be sharing,
I have a few new projects. I'll soon be releasing a dating and life coaching program,
awesome.
Long-term 90-day program that I work with someone on an individual level, you know, to try to figure out what pitfalls they're repeating, right? What things are plaguing their dating lives and their spiritual lives and their emotional lives? Because we all have some kind of baggage, and sometimes we don't have a direction on where we should start first, right? It's like people always say, "Oh, there's so much crap. I don't know where to start. I have so much shit to deal with. I have so much shit to fix. I don't know where to start." And so, you know, sometimes it just takes a third party perspective to help guide you in that direction, because some of us need mental and emotional counseling. right? We don't all need YouTube. And so I want to make that very clear that, mm-hmm. you know, many of us go to YouTube when we should be going to a psychotherapist,
yes.
right? So,
yes. And there's no shame in therapy, everyone.
Absolutely.
You need to
it's
know
absolutely
that.
Absolutely necessary for many.
Seek out whomever you feel that you trust particularly, but there's really no shame. And especially a lot of people, I just want to send a shout out to all the single people out there who are, it's not technically Valentine's Day, but Valentine's Day weekend. And I know that can sometimes be difficult, and know that you are loved, whether or not you feel it from the romantic circles that you run in. You are so, so deeply loved by people around you that you don't even know. You're loved by the world, you're loved by God, whatever you conceive him to be, you are loved. So don't think that you're not loved just because you don't have someone there right now. And don't be shy to connect, to reach out with people, because you never know. So Kev, let's move this to getting some callers. Let's see if anybody's interested in calling, anyone's listening. And let's see if they have some questions for you about, and now I just want to let everyone know, we're going to open the lines for the next few minutes. Any questions, relationship questions, particularly girls, ladies, you have got somebody who's got some great advice. Please call in and get some advice from this guy. So I think we're ready. In the meantime, wait, did we, Mr. Lala, where is the phone number? We should announce this so people know how to reach us. This is a number one thing. What is this number? I am terribly ignorant.
Our studio number is right here. It's area code 514-848-7471. 514-848-7471. Give us a call.
And while we're waiting for that, tell me a little bit about what your advice is for people who are now in a relationship. Maybe they've been in it for a few years and they want to stay connected. Do you have any practices, like couples practices, that people can do? It doesn't have to be something romantic, but anything that's a really strong couples practice that would, especially people could practice today.
Absolutely. You know, we all understand the concept of team sports, right? Sports are the biggest entertainment vehicle in the world, right? Across the world, different sports are people flock to give their money and give way too much of their life's time to spectating sports. Mm. We love it because of the team spirit and the camaraderie we witness. It makes us feel good when our team comes together and does a great thing, right? That's what the jarring emotion that we feel is from. So for couples to try to keep it spicy or keep it hot or just keep it connected, which is more important, it's important to do something as a team, mm-hmm. right? Something that belongs to you, an activity that you do together, that's your thing. And it should be something. It's not like watching TV. It should be something that, like a self-mastery thing that you mm-hmm. do together. Whether that's reading, whether that's meditating, whether that's praying, something that grows you. That grows the both of you together. Mm-hmm. That also connects you to each other's journeys. The thing with relationships that fail is that ultimately there's one person on a journey and there's another person stagnant, mm-hmm. or there are two people on two different journeys, mm-hmm. and then they grow away from each other instead of growing together next to each other in parallel, same direction, right? And so it's very important to set a course for your relationship that involves the same goal, the same dream, and the same spiritual guidance. It's not necessarily like we want to get a house, so we're going to do all this stuff to get a house, or we want to buy this thing, or we want to accomplish this goal as much as we want to invoke on this journey together. We want to walk on this road together and become greater than we are as a couple, right? And these are individual goals, but brought together. So any self-mastery, self-mastery practices, but done together as a couple, whether that's prayer, whether that's meditation, again, whether that's self-help techniques that you employ together, it's almost like putting yourself through a counseling, a continued and renewed counseling to take on a self-mastery task or culture in your relationship where you do a thing together as a couple that lives in your relationship as well as much as we would, watch sports or participate in team activities, you have to have a team activity as a couple, and it really keeps you connected and on the same journey.
And do you think that people, coming back to your point about people who have maybe grown apart, do you think that people can grow back together through those types of things?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are a lot of people who don't see themselves growing apart. That's kind of the part about it that is so stressful and so frustrating, is that most people don't realize they're growing apart. When they're growing apart, they only look back and see that they're 50 yards from each other, right? At some point, they stop and they look back and they realize that we're so far away from each other, we don't know how we got here. And so no matter where you are, a shared purpose, a shared ambition, a shared obsession can bring you back together. That's what I truly believe. Mm. And it should be a revolving around self-mastery, self-love, service to each other. And love is a verb. Love is an action. It's not an idea. People have an idea of what love is, and it's an idea of romance and kissing and making love and beaches and sunsets and shit. It's not about that.
Right.
Love is an action. Love is the service that you provide your partner. And whether that service is picking up the dry cleaning, washing the dishes, or listening or supporting or inspiring or motivating, right? Being an emotionally sustaining figure in their life. It's the service of love, the inconveniences that you put yourself through to make sure that this person is up, and vice versa, right? The service of love ultimately connects you, but then that shared purpose glues you together because you're on the same team. So you need that. You need the service of love. You need to share a purpose. And if you are far away, if you've drifted, that can bring you back together.
Right. I love your advice. I think that there's a depth to it that you don't always find in certain talks, or people don't talk about the realness of life. But that's what I find with your talks, is that you talk about the realness of all different aspects of being in a relationship. Could you tell me, we're going to end this pretty soon. We haven't had any callers, so people are shy today. That's all right. They can always check you out, and we're definitely going to have you back, because I'm so excited when you unveil your course and other projects that are coming. I would love to have you as a recurrent guest, so that we can check in with you, see how things are going, and maybe when people get over their stage fright or fright of the airwaves, they'll give a call in and ask some questions. Before we go out, I wanted to ask you, because since your demographic is a lot women, and this is a university with a lot of women, what would you say to these women who are, it's Valentine's Day weekend, and they're about to go out, and who knows, they might meet the love of their lives, they might just go home alone, they might have a hookup, they might anything. What would you tell these women about themselves, about believing them, anything? What is your advice?
I suppose I want everyone to know that's listening, the women especially, that you are who you have worked to be, right? And we often like to think we work hard. I mean, we're always trying our best. We've heard that. We've heard that from parents. We've heard that from, pick a figure in our lives. I'm doing my best, right? And we're the result of that, and we're receiving the results of those efforts. And we've often witnessed that it wasn't the best effort, right? But the excuse is always, I'm doing my best. But we have a nature to do that with ourselves. I'm doing my best, when we're really just existing. We're really just functioning at a low level. So for everybody listening, I just want them to understand that, like, doing their best should really always be stretching them. Mm. It should never be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes listening to counsel or advice or therapy that seems to challenge our ideas about us, mm-hmm, is the most healthy thing that you can do. And so I guess my basic message is, be open to opposite, opposing, even adversarial perspective sometimes, if there's something there that can stretch you and grow you, right? We have this thing where we reject any opposing information, or any information that doesn't parallel with exactly what we already think. And I think that no person, man, woman, child, adult, can grow and can thrive if they must first agree with information or guidance before hearing it.
So for
these women, self-love, some of these techniques, they may seem basic. They may seem hard. Maybe you think it's just too hard and I don't understand. I get that, but it still needs to be done. Because what's harder is going through life, not making those evolutionary processes, and not being happy.
And being stuck in the same circles and the same patterns over and over that you can't
break out
of. Being
frozen in place.
Right.
That's much more hard than the evolution.
Right. And painful. Way, way more painful. Well, I want to just thank you so much from the bottom of both of our hearts here for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom with us. It is wonderful, and I do hope that our listeners check you out. Please give me again all the places that we can find you.
You can email me, or you can schedule a call with me at girltalkwithguys.com. Again, that's girltalkwithguys.com. You can also watch my YouTube channel. If you search Kev Hick, K-E-V-H-I-C-K, I'm the first profile that comes up. You don't even have to complicate it. The long word is Kev Hick Talks Guys with Girls, but you don't even have to put that up there. You just put Kev Hick. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Kev Hick 24. Again, that's K-E-V-H-I-C-K 24. @ sign, of course, on Instagram. And those are the ways that you can reach me.
And you post new videos frequently, right? So people can check out. You have tons and tons of videos on there that people can come discover you and then go check your website. Like, subscribe, everything. People share. I share Kev's stuff on my Facebook. Please share it because somebody needs to hear this. Somebody out there is a little bit confused and needs some advice like this. So thank you again, Kev, for joining us on the show. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your family. And thank you so, so much for being here.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure. I appreciate y'all having me.
Take care. Hey.
You have been listening to this pretty, pretty, very interesting conversation with Mr. Kev Hicks. You can catch him on YouTube, K-E-V-H-I-C-K. You can contact him in person if you wish. We will have him back on the air as he continues his journey in his beautiful, beautiful relationships around the world. He has actually 1.3 million views on his YouTube page. If you need to contact him, K-A-V-H-I-C-K. You are listening to Beat the World on CJLO 1690 AM. We will be taking a short break and we shall be back.
Push that button.
How about this one?
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2-time award-winning show on CJLO, 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
For your weekly dose of reggae music, exclusive interviews, and news, tune in to the More Fire Radio Show with Star Q, DJ Sirius, Singing P, and Junior Vibes. Each and every Saturday from 4 to 6 on CJLO 1690 AM. The More Fire Radio Show, Montreal's number one source for reggae music and only party on radio.
More fire! More fire!
Check out Jay Nice and Lady Oracle in the Limelight every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for underground hip-hop and R&B right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
This is CJLO.
would guide you my way to share with me this special day. Well, ribbons in the sky for our love. If allowed, may I touch your hand? And if please, may I once again, so that you too will understand, there's a ribbon in the sky. It's a ribbon in the sky for our love. Love we can lose with God on our side. We'll find strength in each tear we cry. From now on, it will be you and I. And our
palms, the tempo you be, you're all that you got. Yay, the bad days may come, the lover may leave, the winter may not. Hey, the map of your palms, the tempo you be, you're all that you got.
Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will feel no love. Oh, my smile, my mind reassure me, I don't need no one.
Woke up this morning with my mind. Set on loving me with my mind. Set on
me. Don't mess with my stuff. My cup is full up. What I got is enough. Nobody completes me. Don't mess with my love. Surely, 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 surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me.
You are listening to Beat the World on CJLO 1690 AM. It's coming up on 1:57 in the afternoon right here in this beautiful city of Montreal, where Concordia University is having their open house. You have at least 2 or 3 more hours to get the kids dressed and bring them down on 7141 Sherbrooke Street West. And we shall give you some information about this beautiful, beautiful facility, faculty. I want to remind you that there was another guest that I had on, but so be it. Everything worked out. Another reminder that I went to have something to eat in this place. It's called Island Pride. It's in the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful NDG area, 6803 Fielding. It's at the corner of King Edward. It's called Island Pride Restaurant, 514-486-3844. Miss Margaret will take care of you. She is a major, excellent, excellent cook. I really, really enjoyed her dishes. Miss Leah, I know time is going, but we have like 2 more minutes, actually 1 more minute to say our goodbyes.
I want to thank everybody for listening today to this amazing show. And thank you so much to Kev Hick for talking to us. Please check him out. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Okay, with a full stop. Montreal, we just want to remind you that we love you so much. Right here at CJLO, we actually have what you called a broadcasting booth downstairs. So any student that come to Concordia University,